I want to start off today by saying that God is preparing his church for an end-time outpouring. This is where you should have shouted, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. Let me try it again. God is preparing his church for an end-time outpouring. And that's going to happen whether you believe it or not. And I just spoke a while ago about a remnant that God is raising up. And the remnant are it's not the church. Can I say this? It's not the church. It's the church within the church. Those who are ready. Those who are positioned. Those who are prepared. Those who believe God. Those who are willing to make sacrifices for the things and the purposes of God. Those who are not self-seeking. Those who are not self-centered. But those who are really ready to do God's will and are demonstrating that truth. They're not just saying it, it's not lip service. The Bible talks about that, how God at one point said that, you know, people just paid him lip service, but their actions are far from what they're saying. And what God is looking for is for people that are ready to do his will. Didn't we just sing that? Ready to do your will. And so that's what is happening now. God is preparing his church for an end time outpouring. Let me just pause here for a few moments. In 1995, the Lord led Pastor Joe and myself to go to a prophetic conference, and we brought our children with us. And when we went to this prophetic conference, I'm going to share with you something that I don't talk about because it's very, very precious to us. You know what happened then. And around that time, God just seemed to be speaking to me a lot. And there was a prophetic word given from a well-known prophetic minister by the name of Noel Rudolph. I met him for the first time, and you know, everything, that whole service, I'll never forget, because it was something to be remembered. He's a minister that moves, a pastor that moves in the prophetic realm, and he called me out actually from the crowd there, and he spoke a few words that we actually have it now on CD. Back then it was tape. I transferred it to CD. We've got it somewhere. Joy has it somewhere at home. But part of what he said is that God is going to lead me, but he's going to lead me not in a way as is customary for other churches. In other words, God's going to do stuff, but he's going to do stuff a little bit differently. And it was only throughout these years, it's been a long time since we received that word. And the prophecy did say it as well, that in the latter times, other things are going to happen. Like the apostolic ministry, that's coming on my life as well, and I know this. But he said that he's going to lead me in a way that is not customary to other people. In other words, in the church that I'm leading is not going to be functioning or operating like other churches operate. There's going to be things that will happen that will be a little different. I can say that in the past year or so, I have actually experienced some of this. Because in and amongst the difficulties, the challenges that I've personally faced, and I know you, everybody, every Christian goes through challenges, and I know this, but while I'm going through it, what I'm sensing and what I'm receiving from God is a reassurance from his word about what he said he would do. Now, that was only one conference, but there were, oh gosh, there were so many different other meetings that we went to where there was a season in my life back then, before this church was planted, where the prophetic word just seemed to be coming from different places. And when you put them together, they seemed to be pointing them to saying this, the same thing. But I knew, even back then, I was hoping it would be now, but I knew it wouldn't have been the now back then. But in the past year now, like I've just said, the Lord has been reassuring me that he is going to do what he is going to do. And in September last year, I spoke to you, and I've been ministering on that before September, but especially since September, I've been ministering on that. Because it's a word that the Lord has given me for you, this church, that we need to stay in his presence. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we need to stay in his presence. The presence of God is where everything begins. Okay? Everything begins in the presence of God. And so you cannot afford to be outside of the presence of God. You cannot afford to be outside of His will. Please do not make the mistake into thinking that you can get up and do things without getting into the presence of God first. Okay? You need God's presence. You need His leading. You need His anointing. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
We need that. We were never meant to do things by ourselves. And I showed you scriptures last year that God wants to work with us. He doesn't want you working for Him. He wants to work with you. Now, for some of you, there are breakthroughs that you're looking for. And some of you maybe have been praying for breakthroughs for a long time. And I want to encourage your heart this morning and say to you, do not give up, because God will do what He said He would do. He will do it. Whatever the breakthrough is that you need in your life, health, finances, job-wise, your business, family, marriage, relationships, whatever the breakthroughs that you need, okay, God is on the throne, and there is an appointed time, an appointed season where the manifestation of that is going to come. Oh my gosh, man. All right. Do you believe what I am saying? Well, I need to feel you, though. I really need to feel you, because this is profound and it is strong. But it's God's word. Just open your Bible and look. Don't just take my word for it. And look and see what God says in His word. God loves His people, okay? And God has a plan for His people, right? And whatever it is that you're going through now, sickness, for example, sickness is not God's plan for you. It's not. So our spirit should be angry against that. We should stand against everything that God stands against. And stand for everything that God stands for. And with the remnant that God is raising up, what He's doing is a fresh anointing that's coming, and there's an imputation of His Spirit and His anointing that's coming upon the life of those, okay, that recognize that, that are prepared for that, and that are willing to pay the price. Now, sometimes there are sacrifices we need to make. And sometimes we don't have what we don't have because we're not willing to make the sacrifice. And so we've got to be willing to make the sacrifice, because God is already begun in quarters of the earth, actually. In parts of the earth, this has already begun. But it's going to spread, and the Lord has been telling us this for a long time. And so our duty, our responsibility, really, is to get with God's program and say, Lord, whatever it is that you're up to, in the name of Jesus, I am a part of it. And I will do whatever it takes to be a part of it. Now, as I said to you, I'm going to talk to you this morning. Rather than preach, I'm going to say some things. Okay, so let me just say this as well. In line with this, in God preparing His church for an end time outpouring, you know that there is an enemy who does not want you to do or to receive or to be who God wants you to do, receive, or be. There is an enemy, and he's out to destroy you, he's out to stop you, he's out to distract you. And so what we've got to do is understand, first of all, understand who I am. I don't want to say too much because I'm going to sort of flash some screens up in a minute. But we've got to understand who we are. We're going to understand whose we are. We're going to understand the empowerment, the power that God has given us, the authority that God has given us. And then we've got to rise up. Come on, somebody shout, rise up. There is a rising up in our spirit that has to come. It can only come from you. And it can only come from you with your relationship with God. There's a rising up against what is coming against us, knowing that God has already given you the victory. Amen. He's already declared you more than a conqueror. Amen. He's given you authority and power. Luke 10:19, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So that scripture alone should be enough for us to rise up on the inside and say, no, devil, in the name of Jesus, whatever you're playing at, that game stops now. Every trap is exposed in the name of Jesus Christ. And everything you're trying to prevent me from walking into, you're a loser. You're not going to win this battle. You're not going to win this. Certainly not going to win the war. I am a conqueror and I have power over you. Because God is in me. His Holy Spirit is in me. His word is with me. I've got brothers and sisters around me. The angels of God are around me. I've got everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness. And so victory is mine in Jesus' name. Now listen, it might not look like it. It may seem like you're going down, you're going under, but I want to tell you this, that the devil is a liar. And be careful how you pay attention and how you look at things. If you pay attention to circumstances, you're going to define yourself according to the circumstance that you're in. And that is a wrong thing to do. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what we ought to do. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And this is why this month, every year we do this, but let me tell you what I do. I approach this, and from last year I've been praying, Lord, do you want us to fast this year? I don't want to do it because it becomes a religious thing to do. Well, it's something that we've always done, so we're doing it. That's not how I approach things. It's really not. And neither are we having 3 full weeks of fasting, because I want us to do is to grasp the reality of the benefits of fasting. So this year, as you know, it's on the website. I've sent it out to you as well. That Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 3 days of fasting for 3 weeks in the month of January. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'll just say it now. Tuesday, we will meet here at Huxley. Our elders and pastors are going to be leading these prayer meetings. So on Tuesdays, 3 Tuesdays, we're going to meet here in the lounge. And we're going to pray together. And you're going to be here. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to pray. And we're going to pray together, not because it's a religious thing to do, but recognizing that there is power in prayer. Recognizing that God treats your prayer so precious that He's held in a vow. The book of Revelation tells us that. Every prayer you pray is precious to the God that you serve. It's held. And this is why I don't understand people who can't pray, who don't pray. Christians that don't pray. How could you not talk to your Father? How could you not do that? And whereas in 2023, maybe we have had a degree of prayer, a level of prayer, this year, in your life, it's going to be different. You're going to pray with your brothers and sisters. Corporate prayer. Come on, somebody shout corporate prayer. Very important. People elevate personal prayer. That's important. But corporate prayer, praying with one another. A church that prays together, stays together. And we experience tremendous breakthroughs together. So that's one of the things that we've got to lift and place on our priority list. Prayer. Put prayer in its proper place. Don't want to drift too much. So let me show you the next screen, okay? So if we're going to pursue His presence, I'm going to give you 4 different things. So when we're going to Tuesdays, we meet here. Let me finish. Wednesdays, your own personal fasting prayer time. If you want to meet up with somebody, you can do that. If you want to pray by yourself, you can do that. Do it however you will. And then on Thursdays, we meet on Zoom. So those 3 days, 3 days of fasting and prayer for 3 weeks. And we're going to watch and see God bring about change in our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, so the presence of God. We must pursue it. But I'm going to talk to you a little while, and I'm going to start on something that I'm going to bring, and I might not finish it this week, but that's okay. We must pursue His presence. Number one, for cleansing. And I'm going to give you 4 different things, and these 4 things are in order. Now, please do not be presumptuous into saying, well, I don't need cleansing. I'm already clean. Praise God. No. Even the Apostle Paul said, let a man examine himself to see whether or not he's in the faith. Yes, you're Christians, yes, but that doesn't mean you're 100% in the will of God. It doesn't mean that you're getting everything right. It doesn't mean that your mindset or your attitude or your words are always right. It doesn't mean that your actions are always right. So we've got to, at some point, stop, pause, and examine ourselves and say, like the psalmist David, renew within me a right spirit. And that's what we've got to do if we find anything there. So for cleansing, in Exodus 19, we see God told Moses, call the children of Israel and let them be at the foot of the mountain. And they're going to be there for 3 days, 3 full days. And it was an imaginary line drawn, and God said, do not let them touch the foot or the base of the mountain. All people, animals, and children, gather at the mountain and stay there for 2 days. They're going to wash their garments. And then I will show up on the 3rd day. So before God can show up, they had to cleanse. It's the same principle. Take it as a principle, not a rule or law. Okay? This was not even a law of Moses going back there. It's what God told Moses to tell his people. And if we want God to show up, we've got to come before him and we've got to humble ourselves and say, Lord, is there any stubbornness in me? Is there any rebellion inside of me? Is there anything, Lord God, that is replacing your word that's inside of me? And so we're going to go through this month talking about renewing and rebuilding and restoring. The Lord dropped those words in includes a spirit when we, and he shared it with us in an elders meeting. And so you might not hear that those words from me much, especially this week, but you will hear that throughout the month because that's what we need to do. I'm just saying it in a different way here. We've got to pause for renewal, rebuilding, and restoring. Let me just say, all three words are re, which means the word re, or the prefix re, means to go back. So we're going to go back and make new again. Maybe those things that have got old in our lives. We're going to go back and rebuild again. Maybe those broken down things, prayer, Bible study, fellowship, working for the Lord, activating your hands and feet. We're going to go back and rebuild our lives again. And we're going to restore, go back and make full again, you know, our hearts, our lives with the presence of God and the things of God. So we've got to pause for cleansing. And we've got to say, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Create in me first a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And it takes humility to mean this, to say it and mean it. It takes humility. And without humility anyway, you won't even see Christ. God can't use you if you're not humble. If you're going to be thinking, well, I know better and I think better and I can do better, you know, then are you saying you know better than God? Because it's God's word that's being brought. And we've got to do what God's word says. Can I get a amen? Amen. All right. So we've got to pause for cleansing. Then we've got to pause also for shaping. Not just cleansing. But after God has cleansed us, now he can shape us. Now he can mold us. Now he can transform us. Now he can change us. Now we can be formed into the person that God wants us to be. You've got to, before God can use you, you've got to be shaped. The potter takes the clay and molds it into a vessel, and then that vessel is on its way to being prepared to be used by God. And what God wants to do, he wants to use us. But before he can use us, he's got to form us. He's got to shape us. He's got to transform us. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1, talks about, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves. Okay? You present yourselves what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So as we present ourselves to God, God looks down and says, yes, my son, yes, my daughter, I hear you, I love you, and I want to use you. I want to change things in your life. I want to shape you and mold you, and I want change to come about in your life. And you've heard me, you've been here long enough, you've heard me say time and time again, if there's no change, there's no growth. And by the way, a characteristic of living things is that they grow. So if I'm remaining the same as I was last year, I'm not growing. If I'm behaving the same as I did last year, this year, then I'm not changing. And if I'm not changing, I'm not growing. And God wants us to grow. And so this is why God's word always challenges us. Stretch yourselves. Come on, improve your prayer life. Don't say I'm too busy. Make time to have a Bible study. This year, Joy and I, we've scheduled it back. We've gone back to putting things in our diary. And we've got our own personal Bible study time that we've put in our diary. And we're saying that nothing is going to take that out. So in other words, we've lifted it and we've given it a high priority so that we're in the Word together. She studies God's Word and I study God's Word, but there's a time when we need to come together and do this. This is for us I'm talking about. Maybe your life is different. But we said, no, we're going to go through God's Word. We're going to study God's Word. We're going to let God talk to both of us together in this time of study and prayer. Are you with me, church? So we've got to still ourselves, and we've got to be shaped. We've got to let God form us so that he can use us. And in doing all of that, my priority level has to be lifted. So things that were not a priority or that were low on the priority list, I am now lifting it up and making it high on the priority list. Can I just pause here? Should I pause here or should I? Let me go on. For equipping, number three. I share some other things with you. The church must pursue his presence. So we need to be cleansed, number one. After we're cleansed, we've got to be shaped. We've got to let the Holy Ghost shape us. We've got to let the Word of God shape us to be the people that we're going to be, because you have purpose. God has a purpose for your life. Okay? Number three, we've then got to be equipped. Equipped. In other words, you have to be given the tools that you need, okay, to become the individuals that God wants you to be, or to fulfill his purpose for your life. So therefore, not only am I going to study, but I may need to go on some courses to develop myself, to equip myself. But I also need to be still before God, because as much as the physical information is good, divine revelation is also the best. So there will be a time when God might want to impute and download in your life his purposes for you. Are you with me, church? So for equipping, and I can go on with that, but I'm not going to go on too much with that. And then number four, for demonstrating God's power. Now, these are all in order. You cannot demonstrate God's power, okay, if you're not equipped. Right? You will not be equipped. You can't be equipped. If God hasn't shaped you, don't allow the Holy Ghost to shape you. Don't allow his word to shape you, to form you into that vessel that God wants you to be so that he can use you. And that won't happen when there's no cleansing, where there's no humility, where we don't come to that point where we say, you know what, my prayer life last year was sloppy, but it's not going to be like that this year. You know what, I've treated church like a come when I want to, turn up if I want to, but I'm not going to do that in 2023. You know what I'm saying? You've got to stop and pause and reflect and say to yourself, hang on a minute. No. This year, I'm going to activate my hands and my feet in the service of God. I'm going to serve. And when I come, I'm doing it as unto God, not as unto man. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Taking out the chairs, playing the instruments, worshiping God, preparing the place, whatever it may be, the food service, whatever it may be, and whatever ministries may come after. And let me just say this right now. We need help. We need more people to come out early. Since September last year, for 4 months, I've been turning up here. But my primary objective was prayer. But while I'm here praying, I also set the place up. And I did a lot of setting up for the services. But that was last year. And I believe the Lord Holy Spirit has released me from that. I said, no, now I've got to transfer that now onto individuals. And the challenge now goes on out to you. We meet here at 10 o'clock. And so what we've got to do is we've got to say, you know what, I'm going to make it my point of duty not to come to church 11:15 or 10:30. I'm going to be here 10 o'clock. And I'm going to do what I can to help out. And the people who serve, Claude and Joan, at least worship every single week. You know, I'm going to come, I'm going to help them, I'm going to set up, I'm going to roll out, I'm going to put the tables out, put the chairs out. I'm not going to say, well, it's a steward's responsibility to do that, but I'm going to come and I'm going to help. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do, after church, I'm going to volunteer myself and I'm going to be a part of the kitchen team. And that's a commitment that, you know, I'm going to make. This is what I'm saying that we can say. I'm going to commit myself to doing something. I'm going to commit myself to just using my gifts, using my talent, using my time for the purposes of God to advance the kingdom, to advance and to help out your local church. Are you with me, church? You see, this is what God is looking for. Otherwise, we're just in a religious mode. And that's a dangerous place to be. You come and you just go through the motions, but then there's nothing behind it. So you come when you want to, if you want to, and then you don't do anything, and after church, bam, through those doors. No. When we're kingdom-minded, we're saying, no, who can I speak to even now during the service? Who can I talk to after church? Lord, talking to you, who can I talk to after church? Father, give me the right words to say, to bring just a word of encouragement to someone. To go up to someone and say, thank you for what you brought today, John. The worship was beautiful today. Thank you to the stewards for doing whatever. You know, just being grateful. Thank you to the musicians, you know, who are faithfully here week after week, you know, playing and helping to facilitate our worship. So today what I want to do, I'm just setting the scene here. So these are four things that we've got to continue to do to pursue the presence of God. Now listen to me carefully. And this is where I'm going to be talking to you now, and I'm going to share something from God's word. We've got to now, this year, we've got to say, no, if God wants to use me and I'm going to be a part of that remnant, if God wants to pour out, we sang about it this morning, pour out your spirit upon me, in me. And we talked about igniting the fire of our heart in song. And if we're singing it, then we should be meaning it. And if we're meaning it, then we've got to demonstrate it. And we've got to say, no more excuses. No more excuses as to why I'm not going to be in the house of God. Make Sunday mornings your top priority to be in your church. Your church. Don't let anything stop you. Can I get a loud amen? Church? Don't let anything prevent you and stop you from that. Maybe in 2022 that happened. You know, and you look back now and say, oh my gosh, you know what? I could have made it. And if it even means you're getting to church late, then so be it. So be it. And don't let a little, can I say this? I hope you don't rebuke me. A little runny nose prevent you from coming into the house of God. Imagine the blessing that you could miss because you sneeze this morning and say, oh, that's it, I can't go to church. Oh, one of my kids not well, I can't go to church. Bring them to church. That's where you should bring them. Where they can get healing. Where they can be in the presence of God. Where you, while worship and praise is going on, can believe for your family to be healed. Are you with me, church? It's a different mentality that we've got to put on. Because the one that's on at the moment, it's kind of, for some people, it's kind of just, oh well, I turn up when I turn up if I turn up. And that does not glorify God. Doesn't glorify Him at all. So, no more excuses. No more excuses at all. Now, we're going to look at a man in the Bible. I'm going to start this week. I don't think I'm going to finish. We're going to look at somebody in the Bible who made excuse after excuse after excuse. God looked at that individual and had a purpose for that individual. And all the person was doing was making excuses. And I'm talking, of course, about the excuses of Moses. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it's there in your Bible from Exodus chapter 3 right through to Exodus chapter 4. We see Moses making 5 excuses. And that's what I want to cover. 5 excuses that he made. Moses' beginning was a little obscure because when we look at Exodus chapter 2 verse 1, we see that his beginning was kind of weird. His mother and father were not even named. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 1, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife the daughter of a daughter of Levi. That's his mom and dad. And his dad was not even named until chapter 6 in the book of Moses. So his beginning was a little bit obscure, was a little odd. But his end was not that. And we know through the scriptures several things that happened, how even Pharaoh wanted to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians, not once but twice, mentioned in the same chapter, chapter 2. Chapter 3, the Israelites, yeah, sorry. He wanted to kill, thanks, Joy, the firstborn of the Israelites. He told the midwives, when the children are born, and if it's a male child, kill it. If it's a female, she shall live. And that didn't happen. The midwives feared God, the Bible says. The Egyptian midwives feared God. And so they didn't let it happen. And then Pharaoh called him back and said, hang on a minute, didn't I give you a command? Didn't I tell you to do something? Didn't I tell you that every male child that's born, you're supposed to kill them? And they said to him, yes, Pharaoh, you did tell us, but by the time we got to the house, guess what, the baby's born already. Because the Israelite women are lively, is the word used. They're lively, they're not like the Egyptian women. So they're giving birth early, they're giving birth quickly. By the time we get there, the baby's already born. So Pharaoh said, right, okay, fine. From now on, every child that's born and that's male, a second command went out, throw him into the river. If it's a male child, throw them into the river. But if it's a female, she shall live. And this all came out of fear because Pharaoh feared the Egyptians. He saw that the Egyptians were growing in number And we're fearing that one day they would just overtake them. One day they would just rebel against them and fight against them and win, or join with their enemies. That's what the Bible says, and win. So, anyway, Moses' life went on, and to cut through a lot of story, we get to the point now where God said to Moses, come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is chapter 3. And Moses then began to make excuses. So excuse number one, when God said that to him, come, I'm going to use you to send the people out, to bring my people out of Egypt into a land that I have already given them, because God already spoke to Abraham 400 years earlier or so, 430 years earlier, and showed Abraham the land that he was going to give his people. He did the same thing with Isaac. He did the same thing with Jacob. As a matter of fact, where Jacob slept and he took a pillar to make his pillow, that was the land. That was part of the land that God had given. So God told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now he was telling Moses, now the time has arisen for my people to go in. So excuse number one, this is Moses' response to God. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? So what am I saying here? I'm saying sometimes God can call us and give us a work and tell us to do something, and if we're not careful, we'll make the same mistake Moses made. Who am I? Because we can look at ourselves as insignificant. We look at ourselves as not qualifying. We look at ourselves as not being like other people, if you like. I'm coming to that in a moment. And he looked at himself, and if you like, you could say Moses had a poor self-image. And that came out of his response to what God was saying to him. Now listen to me carefully. If God tells you that you can do something, guess what? You can do it. If God tells you that you can be something or be someone, wherever that is, you can be that person. If God tells you that and whatever he tells you, whatever it may be, and it tells you like, and it sounds like it's far-fetched, like it's too far, like it's too much. Listen, church, you can do it. You can be who God wants you to be, in Jesus' name. Moses looked at himself and said, who am I? So what was God's response? Verse 12. So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So Moses now began to make excuses as to why God cannot use him, even though God said he can. He began to make excuses. An excuse, what is it? It's a bridge that leads from somewhere to nowhere, to build monuments of nothingness. At the end of an excuse, you are nowhere better off. As a matter of fact, you know what an excuse does? An excuse licenses us to remain the same. An excuse gives you permission to not change. So when God says that we can do something, church, you can do it. When God says you can be something, guess what? Church, you can be it. But what God doesn't want you to do is running off and depending upon your own strengths and abilities. He wants to work with you. So, in today's life, just like maybe in Moses' time as well, the first place of attack is your identity. Moses said, who am I? He had a poor self-image of himself. And we see that played out in the temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4. When the three points of attack, the first point was his identity, was Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of God, the devil said to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, it's a good thing that Jesus knew who he was. Otherwise, he might have fallen down with that as well. I mean, God tells you that you can do something, church. You've got to believe God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Believe God. Okay? Believe God. No matter how it looks, no matter how weird it may seem, you believe God. And don't let the enemy come and begin now to let you know what you can do and what you cannot do. Moses began to compare himself to others. God's presence should have been enough, but he was looking too much at himself. And all that will happen is the arm of flesh will fail. So somewhere along the line, change was needed. Moses would have to change his mind, and he would have to believe God. He would have to trust God. Now, what does the Bible have to say? Let me give you a few scriptures. Okay, the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things. As a matter of fact, can you read it with me? Ready? Read. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Can we read it again? Can we read it again? But this time, see yourself in that verse. Ready? Read. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So whatever God tells you to do, you can do it. This is what Paul has said to himself. I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because we're working with him. We're working together. Who gives me strength. Let's look at another verse. Psalm 16, verse 11. Let's read this together again. Ready? Read. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. So when God tells you to do something, don't just look inwardly within yourself and say, I can't. No. Your response will be, well, Lord, you told me to do it, and maybe I may not know how to do it, but you, Lord, will show me the path. You will show me how to do it, Lord. Because in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11. Jeremiah 1:19. So then, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Don't be quick to speak like Moses. Oh, who am I, Lord? Who am I? Don't be swift to speak like Moses, but be swift to hear. To hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's got to be our attitude. God's told you to do something that's bigger than you. And by the way, most times he will. No, our attitude is, well, you know what? If God is for me, who can be against me? The thing might look big right now, but I got God on my side who is bigger. And together we will do triumphantly in Jesus' name. That's got to be the attitude. But the enemy wants you to doubt yourself, to question yourself, to look at your own abilities. Can you really do that? You haven't even got 5 GCSEs. Can you really do that? Remember, you crashed out of university. No. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength to do it in Jesus' name. Excuse number 2. Exodus 3:13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So Moses, the second excuse he was making, well, who shall I say sent me? Why did he ask that question anyway? God was talking to him. I mean, why did he ask that question? You see what fear can do? You see what self-centeredness can do? And when we have our eyes introspectively on ourselves and not on the things of God, how we can get away from things and away from the purposes, and how the enemy can defuse you so easily. All right, then what was God's response to this? Verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. So what was God really saying here to Moses? He was really saying here that anything that you want me to be, that's who I am. To bring about the success that I want to bring about in your life. Are you here in church?
Yeah.
Let me flash up the next screen. The one who spoke to Moses declared himself to be the eternal, independent creator of all things, which are indebted and subject to him. That's important. All power lies with God alone. I'll read that again. The one who spoke to Moses declared himself to be the eternal, independent creator of all things, that are indebted to him. All things are indebted to God. There's no circumstance that exists on this earth that is bigger than God, that God cannot handle. And that's what he's saying here. Which are indebted and subject to him. All power lies with God alone. What does that mean? Let me break it down a little bit more for you. God was saying, I am your administrator, your answer, your approver, your activator, your advisor, your arbitrator. I am your banker, your builder, your blesser, your breaker, your baker, your beautifier. I am your caller, your calmer, your carer, your counselor, your certifier, your changer. I am your deliverer, your defender, your designer, your deployer, your director. I am your exhorter, your edifier, your educator, your emancipator, your embracer, your employer, your enabler. I am your encourager, your farmer, your father, your filler, your finder, your fixer, your formula, your fortifier. I am your goer, your getter, your greater, your greeter. I am your healer, your harmonizer, your helper, your hider. I am your holder, your hugger, your hunter. I am your incubator, your identifier, your illuminator, your importer, your impressor, your improver. I am your joy, your judge, your jury, your jewel, your king, your kin, your key, your keeper. I am your lawyer, your leader, your listener, your lifter, your lecturer. I am your maker, your mobilizer, your meditator, your mediator, your manager, meditator, your master, your merger, your messenger. I am your navigator, your negotiator, your nutritioner, your nurturer, your observer, your opener, your officer, your officiator. I am your obtainer. I am your peace, your partner, your participator, your protector, your provider, your qualification, your quality, your quantity, your quest, your quota, your reality, your repertoire. I am your rationality. On me you can rely, ratify, rectify, and that's no lie. I am your salvation, sanctification, satisfaction, steady, solid salvation, supporter. I am your teacher, your tender, your thinker, your thresher. I am unstoppable, unbeatable, unchangeable, understandable, unflinchable, unforgettable, unmistakable, unparalleled, unpretentious, victorious, vigorous, virtuous, vivacious, always winning, yielding, and zeroing in on you. And the same God who was saying that he was that God, tell Moses, Moses, tell my people who I am, is the same God that we serve today. Who do you want your God to be in your life? He is your everything. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, my God is everything. Come on, tell your neighbor. Tell somebody else, my God is my all in all. He's my all in all. There is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing too difficult for him. There's no situation that you can face where your God cannot give you victory and breakthrough when you need it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My goodness gracious me. What a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
We have no excuse, church. And all God wants us to do is to trust him. To trust him and to say, yes, Lord. It may look too hard for me, but with us, Lord God, we can do it together. It may look impossible, Lord, but with you all things are possible. It may seem huge, Lord, but I know that this mountain can be made a plain in Jesus' name. It may seem like it's lingering, sickness, and never going, but in Jesus' name, Lord, with you, you're my healer. It's gone in Jesus' name. We've got to be a little bit different going into 2023. You've got to be, there's an enemy that wants to stop you. I said this earlier. And we've got to be of the disposition where we're saying, you know what? The enemy wants to stop me, but I'm not going to allow that in Jesus' name. I'm not going to allow it. And we're going to rise up and we're going to say, no, this year is the year of my breakthrough. This year is the year of the manifestation of my blessing. This year is where change comes. This year is where my hands and my feet are activated even more for the house of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because God is for me, and if God is for me, who can be against me? My goodness. Let me do this one. Number three. Moses said, Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. But suppose they will not believe me after all that. Suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord answered and said, what is that in your hand? He said, A rod. What is that in your hand? A rod. A rod was used to display signs and wonders, release water in the wilderness, make a way out of no way, secure victory in warfare, provide food to rule with a balanced authority. It was used to measure the house of God in Revelation 11. It's used to correct and to set a house in order, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And a rod is also used to advance God's kingdom. The rod represented authority. And I've put there on the screen, you can see it. The ability to advance the kingdom of God is equal to our ability to break through obstacles. So the question is, what obstacle am I facing at the moment? What's my attitude now towards this obstacle? What's my approach like? Am I approaching it in a fleshy way? Or am I going to approach it in a way that is reverential and a way that pleases God? Am I going to trust God while I'm approaching this thing? Realizing that I'm not alone. If you're going to break through obstacles, well, breaking through obstacles is the only way that you are going to advance the kingdom of God. If you're going to please God and do what God has called you to do, there's going to be obstacles, and we've said this several times already this morning, there's going to be stuff that comes against you. But you have got to recognize, I've got the ability to overcome whatever is coming against me, in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, I am a conqueror.
I am a conqueror.
Somebody shout, I'm more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
Now, that's coming from the Word of God, not Pastor David. And that's how God sees you. But do I see myself in that light? Let me tell you something about breakthrough. Let me just flash something up about breakthrough. Breakthrough is a spiritual victory that removes long-lasting obstacles and releases God's people into a new realm of blessing and freedom. I love that. It's a spiritual victory that removes long-lasting obstacles. What obstacle is in your life that's long-lasting, church? What's hindering you? And you can answer personally to yourself, what's there in your life that's hindering you from serving God more? Hindering you from just performing the way that God wants you to perform, operating the way God wants you to perform. What's there that's long-lasting? Because breakthrough is yours in Jesus' name. And breakthrough releases spiritual victory that releases or removes those obstacles and releases God's people into a new realm of blessing and freedom. How many people longing to be released into a new realm of, let me see your hands, blessing and freedom, man. Blessing. How many people, put your hands down, how many people are fed up with the same old, same old? Same old, same old, same old, same old, year after year, year after year. You know what the good news is? You know what the good news is? God has more in store for you. He has more. He has more in store for you. But you see, somebody once said, and it's true, you only really practice what you believe. Don't tell me you believe in tithing if you're not tithing. Well, I've been tithing, but it's rough this month. So you're shutting God off now for this month because it's rough. So now you're closing that window of heaven over your life because it's rough. You're telling me that you're not trusting God to provide. I know what it's like about roughness. I could go off on a tangent and I could tell you about roughness. I could tell you about stuff I've been through, Pastor Joe and myself, where we were many times tempted not to do that, but we did not do that. I couldn't tell when last I have not tithed. Because it's a high priority on my list. And in everything, I've determined that I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to look to man and look at man. I'm certainly not going to look at my circumstances and let my circumstances dictate to me what I should be doing when God's word tells me what to do. No matter how hard it is, I'm going to do what God's word says I should do. And we do it with joy. And we do it with joy. And we say, thank you, Lord, for the blessing that's coming down the road. Thank you, Lord, for Lord releasing. And sometimes it will happen in an abundance. And I believe with all my heart, I don't even want to go off here, you know. I believe with all my heart that God is going to pour finances out. I really believe that, you know. I really believe that. I'm not just saying it from my lips. There's coming a time now when the finances are going to be poured out. And God is going to open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors. And it's just going to be like a release, like a gushing of water. It's going to be a gushing of finances that will release God's people. So all these years, you could be, is that the children of Israel? For all those years, they were in Egypt. And then the suddenly of the Lord showed up. And then suddenly they were out of Egypt. And you know, on their way to the promise. They still got challenges, but on their way to where God has prepared for them. The suddenly of the Lord is going to show up in your life. Church, listen to me. The suddenly of the Lord is going to show up in your life. And when it does, remember to give Him glory. Remember to honor Him in Jesus' name. Please remember that. Let me finish this and I think I'm going to stop here. What if they don't believe me? And he said, cast it on the ground. Remember now, the rod. The rod that he had. What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? Cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. Listen, there's several messages here, you know. What have you got in your hand? Because sometimes the simplest of things, it's just a piece of stick, Moses. This is a piece of stick. But it wasn't just a piece of stick. God can use whatever it is. The thing that seems invaluable, insignificant in your life, in your hand, whatever you've got, and you release it, you throw it down on the ground. Sometimes we've got to do that. We've got to throw it down on the ground because God cannot give you what He has in from His hand into your hand until you release what you have in your hand. When you release what you have in your hand, now God can. And so God said to Moses, throw it down, cast it down. Cast it down. And so Moses had to cast it down, and it became a serpent. And we know the story. He picked it up by the tail again, and it became a rod again in his hand. But sometimes the things that we have in our hand is more powerful than we think. And God is saying, listen to me carefully. It may seem insignificant to others, but I can use it. I can use it. It may not be much that you're able to put into the offering plate, but I can use it. It may not be much time that you have, but whatever time that you have to give, to come out and to help in the service of the house of God, I can use it. It may not be much, but whatever time you give for the food service, whatever time you give to whatever aspect of ministry, I can use it for my glory. So he cast it down, and he became a servant, but what if they don't believe me? So Moses' mind was now back on people. Started off with himself, and then he went to people. What if they don't believe me? And now he said, he's saying here now again, what if they don't believe me? The second one was, who should I say sent me? Which he should have asked that very question, really. So we're going to learn to let it go. When I release what is in my hand, God release what is in his hand. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care. Maybe we're holding on to cares. And we weren't built to do that. And God says, cast your care on him, for he cares for you. And that's maybe what we've got to learn to do. I'm going to close. I'm going to stop right here. Next week I'll go through the other two. But I just want to show you something very, very quickly. Sometimes the way that God moves or provides is not the way we expect Him to provide. When God says, I will do something, sometimes, if we're honest, most times we expect God to do it this way. Or if God says He's going to do something, we expect Him to do it that way. All right? In the book of Exodus 16, God said to Moses that what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide bread for the children of Israel. Get the picture. They had been 2.5 months. They left Egypt for 2.5 months, traveling in the wilderness of sin. So they were in the wilderness of sin at the time. And God said to the people, were sort of saying, oh, it would be better for us to be back in Egypt, because they were remembering the pots of meat and they were remembering the bread that was in abundance in Egypt. And so Moses came to God, and God said, I will provide bread. And what did he do? He provided manna. He provided manna. And the manna came and it fell. And the people didn't recognize it as bread. Why? Because they had never seen bread in that form or fashion before. So question, did God provide it? Yes. Was it bread? Yes, but in a different form. So the people didn't recognize what it was because they were looking for God to provide something different from what God actually did provide. We've got to be careful. Because sometimes when we ask God for things, He will provide it, but it may not come in the way, it may not come in the form that we actually expect. Are you with me, church? You with? Good. So we've got to be careful. When we ask God for things, be prayerful, be reverent. And let the Holy Spirit, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, man, and He will teach and He will show you and He will, you know, show you God's provision and how He's going to do it. Sometimes He will show you, sometimes He'll just do it. And when it's done, ooh, yeah, it's done. So God provided manna. The people looked and they said, what is this? We asked for bread. What is this? But I thought you said He was going to provide bread. And that's what they said. What is this? And that's what the word manna means. What is it? Why? Because God had provided bread for them in a way and in a manner that they had not seen before. So they didn't recognize it. And do you know the Bible says that for 40 years, that's what they fed on? 40 years. And God told us the reason why. He said, I'm going to do this that I might test them to see whether or not they will obey my law. I'm going to provide manna for them to test them to see whether or not they're going to follow my law. And we know the story. God said to them, take one omer per person of manna. No more than that. One omer for one person per day. Some of them did. Some of them didn't. And those that didn't, some took more. And when they took more, they saved it. They ate and they saved it. And the Bible says, you know, it made it taste like honey. It was sweet. And they saved it up for the next day. And then what happened? In the morning, it became what? Worms. It became worms. And the anger of the Lord kindled against them. Moses' anger kindled against the people. And because they didn't obey the voice of the Lord. So guess what? Already they failed the test. God said, take one omer. They took two, three, four, five, six omers per person. And what they could. And then the rest that they kept turned into maggots overnight. And it wasn't because anything to do with the manna itself. Because later we see, I think in that chapter, the same chapter, chapter 16, we see that God said to Moses, all right, tell my children of Israel, tell the children of Israel now to take the manna that I'm providing and to save some for the next day, because the next day is a Sabbath, it's a Sunday. They're out there picking up manna on that day. So this time, take enough for today, Saturday, but take enough also the last day of the week, and take enough for the first day of the week as well, the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a Saturday back then. Right? Take enough for the Sabbath. And when they did so, they kept it, and the next morning, it didn't turn to worms. It was okay for them to eat. Please be careful, folks, because God will test us. He will give an instruction, but He will test you. You want to be used by God? He's going to be testing you. Will they continue to praise me when things are going wrong? Will they follow through with the direction that I give them, the counsel that I give them? Will they do that, irrespective of what may be happening? In Hebrews chapter 11, God spoke to Noah, and He said, Noah, and this was in the Old Testament, but Hebrews 11 verse 7 reflects this. God said to Noah, Noah, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. So I want you to prepare something that's never been prepared before for something that is coming that has never come before. And so Noah obeyed. What happened? He passed the test. And of course, we're talking about rain, because until then, rain hadn't fell on the earth. And then we look in, and the last one, we look into Genesis chapter 17. Verse 17. And when we look at Genesis 17, verse 17, we see God speaking to Abraham and telling Abraham, Abraham, next year this time you're going to have a son. And the Bible says that Abraham laughed within himself. Why did he laugh? And he said, shall you know, my Lord being 100 years old have a child, and Sarah, who will be 90 years old, whatever, how old she was, bear a child at that age. And he laughed within himself. And then, of course, God knew what was happening in his heart and challenged him. So sometimes the instructions from God are illogical, and God will say some things that to us is impossible. But guess what? With him, all things are possible. And we could be being tested. So be careful that you don't fail the test. Be careful, church, that we do not fail the test of God at all. I'm going to close with this. I've written it down here. Psalm 78, verse 41. It says, Psalm 78, verse 41. Write the scripture down and read it when you go on. It says, yes, again and again. This is referring to the children of Israel. They tempted God. And what's the word? They tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Wow. They tempted God, or they tested God. Another version, the NLT says, tested God. They tested God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Church, what we don't want to be doing is limiting the Holy One of Israel. No, no, no. God wants to work in our lives. Let's not limit him. Let's not limit him with our disobedience. God's calling you to do something. Do it faithfully, man. Do it faithfully and be consistent with it. And make sure that's high on your priority. You know, serve him with everything that is within you. And we've got to say to ourselves, away with excuses in Jesus' name. No more excuses in my life.